Small Gods by Terry Pratchett, dramatised for radio by Robin Brooks, with Carl Prekop as brother and Patrick Barlow as the great god Om.
Our story takes place on the Discworld, which is flat, and which rides on the backs of four giant elephants who stand on the shell of the enormous star turtle, Great Atuin, sculling through the deeps of space, his mighty carapace scarred by comets and pitted by meteors. The Discworld turns slowly under its orbiting sun, bounded by a waterfall that cascades endlessly into space. Our story begins in the year of the Notional Serpent, when the time of the Eighth Prophet was nigh, and when young novice brother was quietly hoeing melons in the gardens of the Citadel of Om. And it came to pass that in that time the great god Om spake unto brother, the chosen one.
What?
Yea, the great god Om spake again unto brother.
Hey? Who's there?
Once more the great god spake unto brother, the chosen one.
Are you deaf or what?
Who's there? Who's doing this? There's no one there. Demons. It must be demons. Get me behind thee.
I am behind thee.
Om, save me.
There are billions of gods in the Discworld. They swarm as thick as herring roe. Most of them are too small to see and never get worshipped. They are the small gods, and most of them stay that way because what they lack is belief.
A voice. It spoke to me. It spoke to me in the garden.
The garden? Now, brother, you know what happens to people who tell falsehoods?
Yes, Brother Nimrod.
Very well. Tell me about these voices.
It was more like one voice,
like
Master.
One voice. And what did this voice say? Now then, brother, you know that there are two kinds of voice that are heard by the spiritual.
Yes, Master. Brother Murdoch told us.
Told us, yes. Sometimes, in his infinite wisdom, the god speaks to a chosen one who becomes a great prophet. Do you consider your voice to have been in that category, brother?
No, Master.
But there are other voices. Beguiling, wheedling, and persuasive voices, yes? Voices that speak of the pleasures of the flesh and of self-manipulation. Voices that come at night like succubi, like a fair young hand, caressing and fondling, and then gently but firmly. It is your duty to resist such voices at all times.
Yes, Master.
Good, good. Back to the gardens with you, then. And be sure to tell me if you hear any more voices. Mm-hmm. What were you doing in the gardens?
Hoeing the melons, Master.
Melons. Melons. Perhaps that goes some way towards explaining things.
The Citadel of Om extends for miles, its temples, churches, schools, dormitories, gardens and towers, like a vast termite mound. No matter what your skills, there is a place for you in the Citadel. And if your skill lies in asking the wrong kinds of question or losing the righteous kind of wars, that place might just be in the torture chambers of the Quisition.
What were their names?
I don't know.
I know you gave them copies of my correspondence, Sasho. They are treacherous heretics who will spend eternity in the hells. Will you join them? You spied on me, Sasha. You betrayed the church.
No names.
There was little to laugh at in the cellar of the Quisition. But there were things to breed in the heart of a thinking man a rage to storm the gates of heaven. The mugs, for example. The Inquisitors stopped twice a day for coffee. Their mugs, which each man brought from home, had legends on them like a present from the holy grotto of Ossory, or to the world's greatest daddy. Most of them were chipped, and no two were the same.
Truth is surcease from pain, Sasha. Tell me.
Truth?
Yes.
Truth?
Yes.
The turtle moves.
How long has he been down here?
2 days, Deacon Vorbis.
And you can keep him alive for...
Perhaps 2 more days, Deacon Vorbis.
Do so. It is our duty to preserve life for as long as possible.
Yes, Deacon Vorbis.
Heresy and lies everywhere. And now I shall have to find another secretary.
Consider the tortoise and the eagle. The tortoise has survived by being no trouble to anyone and too much trouble to eat. The eagle is lightning death on wings, yet it will sit for hours until it spots a distant movement of a small shell, and then it will leap. And a minute later, the tortoise finds the world dropping away from it, and it sees the world for the first time, and it thinks, "What a great friend I have in the eagle." And then the eagle lets go.
Oi! Hey, you!
I do not hear you, old foul succubus.
Yes, you do.
I've got my fingers in my ears.
Suits you. Makes you look like a vase.
I can't hear you. Om, save me from all the perils and dangers. I beseech thee, Om. Oh, what's this? Hello, little one. I don't think tortoises are allowed in the gardens. Perhaps it's not sinful to give you a grape. Would you like a grape, little tortoise?
Would you like to be an abomination of the nethermost pit of chaos?
It's you.
Yes.
You're the voice.
Yep.
Well, I didn't know tortoises could talk.
Read my lips.
You haven't really got lips, and they're not actually moving.
I'm doing it straight into your head. Do you understand?
No.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Go and fetch the top man right now.
Top man? You mean Brother Numrod?
I mean the high priest, whatever he calls himself.
The Chernobyarch?
There you go.
I can't ask the High Chernobyarch to come and talk to a tortoise.
Turn into a mud leech and wither in the fires of retribution.
Well, there's no need to curse.
It wasn't a curse. That was an order. I am the great god Om.
No, you're not. I've seen the great god Om. He comes as an eagle, or a lion, or a mighty bull.
Go and get the high what's-her-name. Or there will be a shaking of the earth. The moon will be as blood. Agues and boils will afflict mankind. And divers ills will befall.
Okay, okay. I'll see what I can do.
Deacon Vorbis is the head of the Quisition. His job it is to do all those things that need to be done and which other people would rather not do. People prefer to be friends with Deacon Vorbis, and two such friends are sitting with him in his room, General Fryett, Commander of the Divine Legion, and Bishop Drummer, Secretary to the Congress.
Now, the matter of the city of Ephebi.
Of no consequence, they say, no threat.
Really? After what they did to Brother Murdoch, the insults to Om, this must not pass. General.
No more fighting. We've lost too many already.
They have strong gods.
And better bows.
There is no god but Om. The Ephebians worship nothing but djinns and demons. Have you seen this?
What is it?
It belonged to Sasha, my secretary. I believe there are other copies, even here, in the Citadel. I believe you recommended Sasha to my service, General.
He always seemed intelligent and keen.
But disloyal. A pity he could not give us the names of his fellow heretics.
Curious title. De Colonian Mobile. The turtle moves.
What does that mean?
The writer claims that the world is flat, and that it travels through the void on the back of 4 huge elephants.
But what do they stand on?
On the back of a giant turtle.
Preposterous!
Heresy.
Ephebi is full of madmen. Perhaps the wisest course is to let them stew in their own folly.
Mad ideas have a disturbing tendency to move, to take hold.
What do you propose?
There is a deputation leaving for Ephebi to discuss the peace terms. I shall lead the party.
You, Deacon?
And then, if we are provoked...
We have given them our word.
There is no truce with unbelievers.
But the palace of Ephebi is guarded by a labyrinth. No one gets in without a guide.
God will show us the way.
It's a bit hard to explain.
What do you mean?
You did say to tell you if I heard any more voices, so...
Who's this?
This is Brother Numrod, Master of the Novices. He's very important.
I don't want some fat old pederast. Your eyeballs will be spitted on shafts of fire for this.
I can't go to the High Priest. I'm not even allowed in the Great Temple.
Fool!
Novice brother, why are you talking to a tortoise?
Because it's talking to me, isn't it?
No.
You can't hear it?
No.
It told me. It told me it was the great god.
Ah. Well, now, you see, brother, this sort of thing is not unknown among young men recently called to the church. In your enthusiasm and the stress of all these new experiences...
Smite you with thunderbolts!
You really can't hear it?
Hear it? I find exercise is good and cold water.
Writhe on the spikes of damnation!
I wonder how it got here.
Wait a minute! Put me down!
I don't know, Brother Numrod.
Your hands to wither and drop off!
Good eating on these, you know.
But...
Brother, would the great god manifest himself in such a creature as this?
May your sexual organs sprout wings and fly away!
What kind of miracles could a tortoise do? I shall take it to the kitchens, and then you'll hear no more voices. They make excellent soup.
Soup?
Lots of cold water. That's the thing. Goodness me, how those melons are growing. And the cucumbers. Oh, my word.
Your intestines to be wound around a tree until you are... sorry.
The great god Om is upside down in a basket in one of the kitchens of the citadel, half buried under a bunch of herbs and some carrots. Beside the huge hearth, a small pot of water is already beginning to seethe. A hand reaches into the basket.
Ah! Oh! Hawks to pick your liver! Afflict you with a thousand cuts!
Shut up! I've just got to take this tortoise back. Deacon's orders.
Your eyeballs!
One more word and it's back in the basket. As it is, I'm going to catch it for missing comparative religion with Brother Welk. He's a bit short-sighted and he might not notice I'm missing. But if he does, I shall have to say what I've done.
Why?
Because telling lies is a sin, and the great god will send me to hell for a million years.
I could be merciful in this case.
I know you're not the great god Om, because the great god Om would never become a tortoise.
Oh.
But it says in the book of the prophet Chenna that when he was wandering in the desert, the spirits of the ground and the air spake unto him. So I wondered if you were one of those.
Chenna? Chenna. Yes, I think I remember him. Eyes wobbled, talked all the time, to himself, walked into rocks a lot.
Perhaps you are a demon.
Your teeth to abscess with red-hot heat!
Let me show you something, demon.
It's just a big metal bull.
It is the likeness of the great god Om in one of his worldly incarnations. And you say you're him.
Well, I haven't been well lately. Why is there a door in its back?
So that the sinful can be put in.
What about the door in its belly?
So that the purified ashes can be let out.
You roast people in it!
The great god Om would know that he himself said unto Prophet Wallspur, let the holy fire destroy utterly the unbeliever. Verse 65.
I said that!
Your lying tongue cannot deceive me, reptile. I am strong in faith.
Smite you with thunderbolts!
I'd better take you back to the garden, give you a bit of lettuce.
Feel a bit better now.
How long have you been ill?
3 years. It's quite good lettuce. Opened my eyes one day and I was a tortoise.
Why?
How should I know?
Because if you are the great god Om, then you're omnicognizant.
That doesn't mean I know everything.
Yes, it does. The great god Om is omnicognizant. It says so in the book of Ossory. He was one of the great prophets.
And who told him?
You did, according to you.
I don't even remember anyone called Ossory.
Om spoke to him in the desert.
Ossory. Ossory. Nope.
Om spoke unto him from out of a pillar of flame.
Oh, that Ossory. Yes.
And dictated to him the book of Ossory.
I don't think I did all that.
Well, if you are the great god Om and you didn't dictate them, who did?
Look,
I'm not omnicognizant.
And the Prophet Abyss, I suppose you didn't give him the Book of Creation.
What Book of Creation?
Then who gave it to him?
Perhaps he wrote it himself.
That's blasphemy.
How can I blaspheme? I am a god.
I don't believe you.
This sort of thing has never happened to me before. I was intending to be a great roaring white bull for a week and ended up a tortoise for 3 years. I was beginning to think I was a tortoise dreaming about being a god.
Perhaps you are.
Your legs swell to tree trunks.
But if you've been down here being a tortoise, who's been listening to the prayers? Who's been accepting the sacrifices?
Well, I don't know. Who did it before?
You did. If you try to tempt my faith once more...
I remember a day, a summer's day, and you were 13, and your grandmother had beaten you for stealing cream from the stillroom, which in fact you had not done. She locked you in your room, and you said, I wish you would...
How do you know that?
You believe that the great god Om watches everything you do? Don't you?
But you're a tortoise. A tortoise. No. No, I can't bear this. I'm going mad. I'm going mad. Ah!
What ails you, my son?
Deacon Vorbis.
Oh. Boy!
Brother Nimrod!
Deacon Vorbis?
Is this one of your novices?
Yes, Lord.
What's the matter with him?
He seems to have fainted. Too much sun, perhaps?
Have you tried beating him?
Oh, yes, Lord. It's like trying to flog a mattress. But his tutors speak very highly of him. He's word perfect on the entire scripture. When I say perfect, I mean as perfect as anything can be in this imperfect world.
A devoutly read young man.
No, he can't read or write.
How then has he become such a capable pupil?
Pupil? Well, he listens. No one listens quite like brother. It makes it quite hard to teach him, actually. All your words just vanish into the depths. He listens to everything, and he watches everything, and he takes it all in. And I've never heard him say an unkind word. The other novices make fun of him sometimes, call him the big dumb ox, you know, the sort of thing. But his memory...
What about his memory? Good?
Good is the wrong word. Superb. Uncanny.
Can't read or write. Loyal?
Extremely. Loyal and devout.
And a good memory.
It's more than that.
Send him to me when he is recovered.
Oh.
I merely wish to talk to him. I may have a use for him.
Really, Lord?
For I suspect the great god Om moves in mysterious ways.
Bloody useless boy. Serves me right for trying to speak to a novice. When I get my power back, I'm going to spend quite some time devising a few new hells. And a couple of fresh precepts, too. Thou shalt not eat of the meat of the turtle. That's a good one. Don't know why I didn't think of it before. And thou shalt bloody well pick up any distressed tortoises and carry them anywhere they want. Unless, and this is important, you're an eagle. Nothing for it. I'll have to find the High Priest myself. He'll be in this place somewhere.
Me? But...
I don't believe he means to subject you to the Quisition.
Then why?
Why? He says he just wants to talk to you.
But what could I say that a Quisitor would want to hear?
Here. I'm sure you're not questioning the Deacon's wishes.
No, of course not.
Of course not. Good boy. Just you trot along, then. I'm sure everything will be all right. Probably.
Thou shalt build shallower steps. Watch it, great hulking brutes. Mind where you're putting your flip-flops. Oof!
Oh! Om fetches up against a metal grill set in the base of a wall. He looks down through the grill. The room is well lit. Deacon Vorbis had made a point of that. The Inquisitors must work not in the shadows, but in the light. Deacon Vorbis discourages the use of red-hot irons, spiked chains, drills with big screws and the like. It is amazing, he always says, what you can do with a simple knife. After a while, Om hauls himself off the grill and walks away slowly, keeping close to the wall to avoid the passing feet.
There is a stool behind you. Be seated. You may remove the hood. Novice brother?
Yes, Lord.
And, of course, one day we shall have to call you brother, brother. Or even father, brother. Quiet. It's rather confusing, I think. Perhaps we shall have to see to it that you become subdeacon, brother, just as soon as possible. What do you think of that? Anyway, do you recognize these learned fathers?
No, Lord.
Good.
Now, we have some questions to ask you, brother.
Uh-huh.
When you first came into these apartments before you were hooded, you were, for a few moments, in the anteroom.
Yes.
Please, describe it.
It is a room about 3 meters square with white walls. There's sand on the floor, except in one corner by the door. There's one window. There are three bars on the window. There is a three-legged stool. There's a holy icon of the Prophet Ossory carved from a fascia wood and set with silver leaf. There is a shelf under the window. On the shelf is a tray.
And on the tray?
I'm sorry, Lord?
What is on the tray?
On the tray, a thimble, a bronze thimble, two needles, a length of cord. There were three knots in the length of cord, 9 coins, 3 of them were citadel cents, 2 were showing the horns and 1 the sevenfold crown. 4 of the coins were small and golden. There was lettering on them which I could not read. But if you were to give me a stylus,
this
I could...
This is a trick.
I think not. The other coins?
The other coins were large, bronze. Direct me from a Phoebe.
How do you know that? There are no such coins in the citadel.
I'm not sure. No, when I was 3 years and 1 month old, some merchants came to our village in the afternoon of the first day of Grun, in the year of the astounded beetle.
I don't believe this.
I am sorry, brother. We find it hard to accept that you can recall a chance glimpse of a foreign coin, what, 15 years ago?
We think that you are making it up.
Why, Lord?
Can you remember everything that's ever happened to you?
Most things.
What is the first thing you remember?
There was a bright light, and then someone hit me.
Well?
Foolishness. Possibly demonic.
I see it as a chance.
One chance. And they will be expecting us.
What is there to lose? My son.
My lord.
Return to your dormitory now. You will report to the Gate of Horns at dawn tomorrow, and you will come with me to the city of Ephebi. You know about the delegation to Ephebi?
No, lord.
We are going to discuss some political matters with the tyrant. It is a secret mission. Do you understand?
No, lord.
Good. Very good.
Brother! Brother!
It's a great bird!
What's it doing?
It's got its eye on something under that statue!
Dates, pink sherbets, nice fresh indulgences, lizards on a stick.
It could be a messenger from the great god himself.
It's an eagle, is what it is. Brain the size of a peanut.
Honeyed wasps, holy relics.
It's an eagle! A noble bird!
One day you're going to be very sorry you said that.
2 bags of dates for the price of one, and that's quite my own angle.
Brother!
How did you get under there?
Oh, it was touch and go. When I'm back on form, there's going to be considerable redesigning of raptors.
What's the eagle trying to do?
Oh, it wants to carry me to its nest and give me dinner. What do you think it wants to do?
You're a tortoise with a shell.
It doesn't worry eagles. They pick you up, carry you up a few hundred feet, and then they drop you. Whee! Crack! Splat! How do you think I got into your garden?
You were dropped.
Landed on the compost heap.
Oh, that was lucky.
I never had this trouble when I was a bull.
There's good eating on one of them, you know.
Hello, Mr. Dibbler.
Fancy a glass of sherbet to go with it. Anyone sent a glass, and that's cutting my own handle.
Who is this fool? Get rid of him. Smite him on the head.
Shut up.
Oh. There's no need to be like that about it.
I wasn't talking to you.
Oh, talking to the tortoise, were you? Ah, pets are a help in times of stress and in times of starvation. Anyway, it'll be company on your journey.
What journey?
To Ephebi, the secret mission to talk to the infidel.
Oh, that journey.
With Deacon Vorbis.
He's been very kind to me.
I wouldn't say a word against him.
Oh, why are you talking to this stupid person?
He's a friend of mine.
Oh, that's so. Friends like that, you never have enemies. Can I press you to a candied sultana?
I didn't have a chance to tell you. I've been chosen to go on a very important mission. I'm going to Ephebi. Deacon Vorbis picked me.
Who's he?
He's the chief exquisitor. He makes sure you're worshipped properly.
He tortures people.
They let out the badness and the heresy in people.
And if they don't survive the process?
That doesn't matter. What happens in this life is not really real. If the pain ensures less time in the hells after death...
What happens if they're wrong, these exquisitors?
They can't be. They're guided by the hand of... Well, by your front leg, claw.
But suppose something went wrong.
I'm not any good at theology, but the Testament of Ossory is very clear on the matter. They must have done something, otherwise you, in your wisdom, would not direct the Quisition to them.
So it's their fault they get tortured? Did I really say that?
We are judged in life as we are in death. Ossory 3, chapter 6, verse 56. My grandmother said that when people die, before they come before you, they have to cross a terrible desert, and then you weigh their heart in the scales. And if it weighs less than a feather, they are spared the hells.
Has it occurred to you, lad, that I might not be able to do all that and be walking around down here with a shell on?
You could do anything you wanted to.
You really believe this, don't you?
Yes.
You've got to take me with you.
What?
To this Ephebi place. I need to come with you.
I'll do whatever you want. Are you going to scourge it with hoof and flame?
Could be. But you've got to take me.
Oh, they're very wicked in Ephebi. The sooner it's cleansed, the better. You could stop being a tortoise and fly there like a burning wind and cleanse the city.
I'll go with you. I move in mysterious ways. Burning wind, possibly. Possibly not.
And the tortoise thought of the silent wastes of the deep desert, and the chittering and sighing of the gods who had faded away to mere djinns and voices on the air, gods with no believers, not even one. But one was enough. Just enough. And the thing about Brother's flame of belief was that in all the citadel, in all the day, it was the only one the great god Om had found.
In the first episode of Small Gods by Terry Pratchett, dramatised for radio by Robin Brooks, Carl Prekop was Brother, Alex Jennings, Vorbis, and Patrick Barlow, Om. The narrator was Anton Lesser, Numrod, Jeffrey Beavers, Bishop Drunner, Philip Fox, General Fried, Sean Barrett, and Dibbler, Jared McDermott. Small Gods was produced by Claire Grove and directed by Gordon House.